get it. Go get it. Turn and run. Turn and run. Turn and run.
The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 so you can get out of here, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Well, well, well. It is a good feeling to be sitting here on a Monday night at 2-0 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming off of a 20-7 victory in Charlotte over the Carolina Panthers. Without further ado, enough of me. Hello and congratulations, head coach Raheem Morris.
Thank you. That was awesome, man. Going out getting a win was very good, especially going down to that place and how tough an environment it is there to go win. It was really good, and our team played well. And we play good as a unit.
As we said going into this game, added significance, division opponent and road division game. There are only three of those, and in one fail swoop, you take care of both in week two.
You know, it was fun. You know, you go into the belly of the beast, and you got to go play against a tough opponent. You know, an opponent that's really giving you the business. You know, over the years, you know, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, and what they've been able to do to us stat wise over the years. And the last couple times we had a chance to meet these guys, they punished us. And we put it in our head, and instilled in our young players to go out, man, and really attack these guys and really try to play more physical than we've ever played before with these people. And we came out with a win yesterday.
All right, so we've got a lot to discuss here this evening, including that matchup. We're going to take your phone calls as the show goes on. And at the end of the program, we'll obviously preview the upcoming matchup, unbeaten versus unbeaten. I like what you said earlier today. I don't know who had that outside of the Buccaneer building and elsewhere in the NFL, unbeaten versus unbeaten, but it will be the Buccaneers and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. We will preview that game in just a little bit. So, as we mentioned, you're playing on the road for the first time, a hot day in Charlotte, although I do have to say, even though it was hot, not as humid as a Tampa, St. Pete, West Central Florida day, which was a good thing, but hostile environment. Their crowd was up for the game, and as this game began, you were able to move the football on your first couple of possessions and eventually get into the end zone. Game got off to a good start once again with you getting up to the lead at 7-0.
No question. We were able to come out. We get the ball first. We like to take that ball, and that first drive was stalled by a false start. But after that, we got the ball back. Our defense was able to go out and get a three and out. We get the ball, and we were able to march down and get a score, thanks to a great play by a couple of our guys, and finding Ernest Grant for that touchdown was big to start that game off.
Kellen Winslow made one of those great plays. You're talking about a 24-yard catch on third down the middle of the field. A lot had been made about him not being able to practice. You told us prior to the game, hey, it's going to be a game-time decision, but it's going to be difficult to keep him off the field because he wants to play. And then right off the bat in the first quarter, he's making a spectacular twisting, leaping catch. That's Kellen Winslow.
You know, he's a tough guy to keep, you know, from a competitive environment. You got to manage him, you got to maintenance him, and that's my job, and that's our job as an organization. He's our investment, and he's the guy that we love and we go to a lot, and we made the decision to play him, and he went out there and he paid us back, so to speak. You know, he's up there making jumping grabs on third down. He's making big-time plays, you know, all over the field for his quarterback, and his teammates really all bonded together yesterday, and they came out and they supported their young man.
You know, one of the plays that was also in that drive that led to the touchdown, Josh Freeman, for the first of a couple of different times, making a play with his feet for the second straight week, this time a 17-yard run where, you know, everybody kind of vacated the area, and the big fella, can move and moved and not only got the first down, but he got even more.
You know, Josh he's savvy, and he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not very fast, he's not very whatever, but once he gets his body going in the right direction, he can really rumble, he can stumble, he's a little bit elusive. And this year I'm very excited to see him learn how to slide and get down and not take some of these hits, which is pleasing for me.
Just after his run, the next play on first and 10 is the touchdown to Ernest Graham. And talking to both he and Josh Freeman after the game, they said, hey, he's the primary option. Ernest knows it's coming to him in that instance. And, you know, he gets the ball on the right flat. Jeremy Stevens actually makes a good block down near the goal line to get you in the end zone.
Sure. I'm not sure which guy dropped the coverage, but they dropped the coverage from the Carolina Panthers standpoint. We're able to get the ball right to Ernest. Ernest is able to make a great play, turn up field, and Jeremy came back and made a second effort block. I mean, those are the type of blocks and type of teamwork that you need all across the board, and that's how you get in the end zone and create bigger plays than really you should have. And it was great, man. Like I said, you know, we talked about it earlier about our football team, young guys making plays, wisdom beyond their years, and and just got to go one at a time and keep playing.
Always fascinated when we sit down and have these conversations to find out about the details, the preparation. There were several times where you were either successful finding a back in the flat or on a screen pass, or Josh Freeman was able, after everybody cleared out, to have running lanes. Was that something that you saw on the tape in the game plan that, hey, this is going to be there potentially, and instructed Josh Freeman, hey, even wait for a second because everybody's going to clear out. You might have a chance to run. Or did it just kind of work out that those kind of plays were successful as the game went on?
You know, I don't want to take all the credit for that. You got to give your offensive staff a lot of credit for evaluating the tape, understanding which coverage they're going to get. They knew they were going to get a bunch of man free. They knew they would get some two-man, and that would open up some opportunities for him either to run. And you call the beaters for those different protections and those different coverages. And he was able to take advantage of it a lot of times when people clear it out. He holds for a minute. He always knows to look for a running lane. He took advantage of a couple of those running lanes and really exploited the defense a little bit.
Now, I know you speak secondary fluently, but give the audience out there that does not speak secondary fluently the difference between man free and man two is primarily what opened up.
But they have man free coverages where you have one guy in the deep middle of the field and you have one guy as a low lurker, and he's really responsible for something every week. And whether he's double teaming, he got to make a decision. Am I going to go double a primary guy like a Kellen Winslow? Am I going to go double a Mike Williams? Or am I going to spy Freeman? And he's got to make a decision. He's got to make it in a hurry. They hopefully had it in their game plan. More than likely, when you go play Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're talking about third down, and you like to get doubles on Kellen Winslow or whoever else may be that primary receiver that day, whoever you feel you want to. And they doubled those guys, and Josh was able to open up and really get going with his legs and get out of there. And then they play coverage just like two-man. We have two deep guys, and you have to play man underneath. And then your D-line has to spy Josh Freeman. And as we know, Josh Freeman is a hard man to get on the ground, and he's able to be elusive. He's able to throw people off of him and run down the field and pick up big chunks of yardage.
Well, you did there in that instance for a 7-0 lead. So that's the score at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter of the game, they finally are able to move the football a little bit and get out of their own end. And it eventually leads to a fourth down situation and a touchdown pass from Matt Moore to Steve Smith. And you've said a couple of times after the game, you said it to us at halftime, you said it after the game and again this morning to the media, put that one on me because you called for the blitz there and Carolina was ready for it.
Yeah, I didn't have to. It was a fourth and four. It was a big play. I was looking for momentum shift. I was looking for something, and I really didn't have to do it that time. I could have called my regular base defenses, but I didn't. I chose to go get them. I chose to be aggressive. And in that time, we rolled the dice, and it didn't work. And we went up for all our blitz, and they did a great job in protection. And they were able to, you know, shake off with a double move or whatever, and he's able to throw a pass to Steve Smith. And you know, we all know how dynamic Steve Smith can be once he has an opportunity. You know, but if you leave the day with those type of Steve Smith numbers, at the end of the day, you feel good about it because you don't give him one.
Well, right. I mean, that's the only significant one that he got, even though he had a couple of other catches. But, yeah, that's the only one that mattered there in the first half. And one thing, and we talked about this last week with the Cleveland game, your team bounced right back after the touchdown, put a drive together of 80 yards, and Josh Freeman finds Mike Williams for the touchdown, and bam, you're right back up 14-7. That's got to be pleasing to look at on the game tape last night and today that you responded right away.
A point of emphasis for our football team is on both sides of the ball. Is responding, whether it's a positive play or a negative play. And what I mean by that is when we're on defense and we go out there and we get a stop and our offense goes out there and score, it's not let off and kind of relax. It's really, let's go out there and get the ball back as quickly as we can for our offense because this is the most critical times when we're hot, get them the ball, let them stay hot. If we give up a touchdown like we did on defense yesterday, we got to go to the sideline. The offense can't take the field and mope. They got to go respond. They got to get points. And that lifts our defense up. And it's about a team thing. It's about a team unity. And it's about people making plays. And the same thing goes for special teams. You know, their job is to go out there and make plays for us. And we're going to try to change the games and make game-changing plays. I'm using all our units.
The two big plays, 3rd and 17, you're able to hit Kellen Winslow. Josh Freeman with a rocket down the sideline just over the outstretched arm of a defender, and K2 is there to make the catch, get the feet in, and it ends up being a 40-yard gain down the sideline. Most of that pass covering in the – let's just talk about that play again while we have a second because I know you've looked at it a few more times.
Well, we'll credit none of that to coaching. We'll give all the credit there to, you know, Josh Freeman simply making an amazing play, making two guys miss. Being very elusive again, you know, stepping outside of the pocket, setting his feet, and absolutely throwing a laser to Kellen Winslow, who stayed alive in the drive. And he's able to stay alive late in the downs, and that's what you got to do when you play with a guy like Josh Freeman. And he finds Kellen, and Kellen makes a dynamic catch right on the sideline. He's able to tip out and feel great about it. And it's one of those plays that excites you as a defense, excites you as a coach, and excites you on the sideline because you see your young man make a big-time play like that. It's really exciting.
It's head coach Raheem Morris. We're going over the Week 2 win over Carolina, which has put the Buccaneers at 2-0. We are going to take your phone calls coming up. This is his weekly radio program. Again, I'll occasionally mention this here at the beginning of the season, the show now at 5 Eastern time. Total Access will follow us immediately after at 6 Eastern time. So we move things up to talk with the coach every Monday night. All right, so that leads to the touchdown play after the long completion to Kellen Winslow. There is the rookie Mike Williams once again, this time a catch and run over the middle. Carolina had several players in the vicinity. Nobody got to him, and he's able to break a tackle eventually and get into the end zone for 7 more.
Sure will. You know, he caught a pass. It was a great throw by Josh. He caught it in stride, is able to keep his feet and able to run through defenders, and that's what you got to do, man. You got to find ways to make yards after the catch, yards after contact. And, you know, he simply told us that it was no way he was getting tackled inside the 10-yard line when he had an opportunity to get in the end zone. And I love it. And I love that type of energy. I love that type of youthful ignorant, so to speak, that he's going to go out there and have a ball and play as fast and as hard as he can and enjoy doing it. You know, a lot of guys slide, a lot of guys go down, and I take pride in my guys being tough guys and being nasty and being physical, and that's what him and Sammy Stroud both are.
All right, so this is just us having a simple conversation here. You have to, in some ways, inside be going, holy cow. I mean, the kid's a rookie, and he's delivering in regular season games. And not a guy that was picked in the first round where everybody's expecting, yeah, he should deliver in regular season games. I mean, part of you has privately got to be elated, you know, with what you're seeing.
I've talked about Mike a bunch and numerous amounts of time and the research that we've done on him. And, you know, there was no question in our head that, you know, he had first-round talent. And now he's here and he's just showing everybody that what we thought we saw on tape, you know. But at the same time, the kid's going to remain hungry. He's going to remain humble because, you know, he's been to the bottom. And now he's got a chance to keep fighting his way back and keep coming and keep coming, and that's what he's going to do. We found things in the game plan today where he can get better at. We went and talked about it. You know, last week he got better from week one to week two, and hopefully throughout the whole process he'll have the ability to get better throughout this whole season and really become a dynamic receiver in this league.
Two games played, two big touchdowns for Mike Williams, a 14-7 lead at the half. When we get back here on the Coach Raheem Morris Show, we will talk about the conclusion of this one, a Week 2 win. Again, we will take your phone calls as the program goes on as well, and we'll be talking Pittsburgh Steelers later in the hour. Stay with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
A 2-0 start for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the first time since 2005, a 20-7 win over Carolina. We will be talking about the matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers as the Bucs will welcome the Steelers into Raymond James Stadium Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll do that later in the show. We will be taking your phone calls as well. You can go ahead and jump aboard at 813-909-4620 or 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCS, wherever you can hear the program, 1-800-596-2827. You can join us. I know that we have a lot of people that dip in on the internet and whatnot and listen to the program. So, again, toll-free all over the place, 1-800-596-2827 if you're outside the immediate Tampa Bay area. So we left off talking about a 14-7 halftime lead. We talked to you, Coach, going into the locker room, and your phrase to us was put the pedal to the metal, keep it up, right? Is that pretty much the message to the team in the locker room itself?
Yeah, you can go into the halftime and get the giddy feeling that you're ahead and it's just going to stay that way. You don't show up to the game and win. You know, you got to come back out with the same sense of urgency that you came into that game with to get that lead in the first place. And the only way you do that with your team is you go in and you constantly remind them. And again, let them know last week, Cleveland was ahead of you guys last week once we went and we went in the locker room. And we came back out and we were able to play. And that reminder for all these guys of what they've done to us in the past in this building and in our building, you gotta let them know about that. You got to get a little bit of a swagger. You got to get a little bit of an edge about yourself. And you got to come out ready to play a nasty game of football because you know the Panthers are going to come out ready to respond.
Well, they did come out with the football, and they were able to get a little bit of running yardage on the first couple of plays, but you stop them right there on a three and out. Let's take the opportunity while we have the chance to talk about the job you did on D'Angelo Williams and on Jonathan Stewart. Their two-headed monster has given this team fits, as everybody knows, throughout the last few years. But for the most part, you contained them yesterday, especially in the second half of the game.
You know, I don't know if you can stop these guys. You know, it's not really fair to say you can stop them. I mean, they're very talented. They're great players. Jonathan Stewart runs sideways just as fast as anybody I've ever seen in my life. And he makes some dynamic 3-yard runs yesterday that were just special. And the same thing with D'Angelo. What we did yesterday as far as stats and holding those guys to Jonathan to 43 yards rushing and holding D'Angelo to 54 yards rushing compared to what they have done to us in the past, when you're talking about those two guys both going well over the 100-yard, the century mark on us in the same game, and it's been demoralizing to a point. And our guys really bowed up, you know, and started up front, started with guys like Roy Miller. You know, he's our big nose tackle, and then he holds it down for us. And, you know, it goes right up to his other young guys, you know, the Gerald McCoys, the Kyle Moores, and all those guys really had to come up and play, and they played well. And our linebackers shooting those gaps and running through all those gaps and coming downhill with Barrett Rood and Geno Hayes and Quincy Black. They took it personal, and it was awesome to see.
Well, and the defense, speaking of defense, would be a theme of the second half, and right away after an exchange of punts, you're able to get a turnover with field position. There is Rondae Barber for the second straight week making a key interception to help set up points.
You know, what else do you expect from Rondae? It was a call. We showed a coverage. Rondae pops out. He's able to get visual. He locates the quarterback's eyes. He knows where he's going to throw the ball, and there's Rondae, Johnny on the spot. And Steve Smith jumped on his back and didn't allow him to score, but you know, good old Rondae coming through for you again.
I know you joked about this last week, that you allow him to kind of at times freelance or ball hawk if he sees something. He's a veteran. He's earned that. And, I mean, there it was again where he's, you know, just paying attention and looking into the backfield and jumping the situation and coming up with another huge play.
You know, he's a vigilante, but in this case, he wasn't a vigilante in this case. He was executing the defense. He's executing the assignment. His job is to drop out as a hook dropper and get visual and play with his eyes. And that's a part of his strength. That's something that I let him do frequently, and that's something that we love for him to do, because when he gets an opportunity to do it, usually he has good results, and it was no different in that case.
39th career interception for Rondae Barber. I mean, that's pretty – I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys that might play 10 years in the defensive back role and not get 10 interceptions just because a lot of times you don't get thrown to opportunity. 39 of them, Coach.
You know, the thing with Rondae, you know, I don't even know if he plays for those type of numbers. He plays because he absolutely loves it. You know, he loves the competitive nature. He loves the competitive edge. He goes out every day and he comes to work with the same type of attitude. You know, he's still angry that he was drafted in the third round. There is no doubt about 14 years later, he's still counting to see exactly who came in his draft, who came in with him, how many people he can outlast, and how many people he could be better than at the end of the day. I think he's still trying to prove to his draft class that he should have been taken number one.
Well, and, hey, he has put together quite a season here so far, 2 games in, albeit, but, you know, so far he's made a couple of huge plays. That situation ends up to a field goal. You got inside of the red zone there. There was an interesting play, and you made mention of this earlier today to the media at your press conference. There was a third down play inside the 10-yard line where Josh was looking for a screen pass, kind of the backdoor screen pass to Cadillac Williams. It was not there. They had it defended. He simply threw the ball to the ground. And said, let's live to kick the field goal here. A year ago against Carolina, there were several interceptions in situations like that, trying to make something happen, forcing something here, something in the air that wasn't there. And I know you said earlier today, that's the sign of poise, the sign of maturity. You know, live to fight another play, go kick the field goal.
You know, usually, or a lot of times, you know, across football in general, you know, you can look at high school ball, you can look at college ball, you can look at pro ball sometimes. And you see guys, the screen not being there, and they run around, they scramble, and they throw the ball up in the back of the end zone, and we all think it's a touchdown. They call it back because the illegal man was downfield. Or you try to force it in there to that back, and the ball gets tipped up in the air, and the defense ends up with the ball. And what Josh did right there showed me and showed his fans and showed, you know, everybody part of our organization of his growth and his development when he threw it right out of his feet, didn't even blink, turned around, looked at us for another play call, and was ready to move and came off the field and took the field goal, because he understands that winning is the most important thing every day. And he knows that his defense, who's been very opportunistic, been very stingy on defense, if he can get those guys out there and get them 3 points out of what they just gave him, then he's going to take it.
All right, so 17-7 at that point. Again, Carolina gets the ball. They're able to pick up a first down, but after that, you get a sack. Quincy Black comes flying through on Matt Moore, crunches him for an 11-yard loss and forces a punt. What a punishing hit there, and it was on the highlights all over the place last night and this morning, what 58 did there on that blitz.
You know, Quincy Black has been dynamic in the first two games of the season. He's been an enforcer. He's been a big body for us. His approach to the offseason, his approach to football in general, he's got that attitude. He's got that swagger. And we've been able to use him in different situations. And that, in that situation, we were able to use him as a rusher. And he looped around there, and somebody blew an assignment. And you don't want to blow an assignment on that guy because he'll make you pay for it.
Well, and you get the ball back, and you now go on a drive. You go on a march that starts killing the rest of the third quarter. And that's, I mean, there's a few things that are in sports that have to be reassuring and pleasing when you're on the road. One of those is when you're up 10 in the second half on the road in the NFL and you're moving the football and you're almost breaking your opponent's will at that point. Are you not? If you can get in the end zone, you're going to be up by 17. I mean, that's what those kind of drives are about.
You know, again, it was one of those times where Free was going down the field and he's milking the clock. He's using time. He's using all his options. He's
using his feet
football.
Again.
He's using his feet again. He's running down the field. He's recognizing coverages. He's making checks at the line of scrimmage. He's doing a bunch of different things. I don't think he called timeout in his drive because he didn't get a look he wanted or he couldn't get it out fast enough. And he's smart enough and wise enough not to take a delay a game because he don't want to kill us in penalties. And not to mention, we had four penalties yesterday, and one I took when we said we can back up for the punt. So really, we had three penalties yesterday, so we're getting better there. And this is, as a young football team, those are the things I'm more proud of than anything. You know, just the discipline of how we play and just the little things, the game management. And we can get better. You know, I go in there with my coaches now and I evaluate with my guys and sit down and talk about every situation that happened in the game, see what I can do to be better. And we will get better. But I'm really loving it. The wisdom beyond years, what we've done is impressive.
Well, and the field goal that results there from that drive is important because now at that point they can't tie the game with a touchdown and a field goal. They're going to have to basically score two touchdowns from there on. And, again, you call upon your defense and you get a stop, this time a sack of Matt Moore by Tim Crowder, and Kyle Moore recovers the fumble. There's Buck Ball again in the second half taking the football away.
I can't say enough about what Tim Crowder was able to do yesterday. The way he rushed the passer. You know, first of all, he had, I think two sacks or so.
Yes.
I believe he had, four or five tackles, whatever the case was.
Forced fumble there.
He had, forced fumble that we recovered. A couple tackles for loss, a quarterback hits. And he also made a special teams tackle. And he runs down on every punt team. And he protects every punt. And he runs down, he's able to cover for us. His effort, everything that he gave us yesterday, you can't say enough about what he did for us and what he's brought to this defense and what he's brought to our team.
Well, and the defense, again, gets the turnover. You're not able to go on a long, sustained drive. And eventually Carolina turns the keys over to Jimmy Clausen, the rookie out of Notre Dame, who comes in at the 10-minute mark and tries to lead them down the field and actually succeeds in moving them into scoring position. But then the key part of the game where, if they're able to get in there with 3 or 4 minutes left, the game is still on. They have multiple chances inside the 20-yard line. They can't get in, including four cracks from the 4-yard line, including fourth and goal. You stop them, and basically it's game over at that point.
You know, for us, at that drive, when they got the ball back with 10 minutes left in the game, and we're in the fourth quarter, your mentality changes a little bit. And you become – you want to become that opportunistic defense that sits back and lets them make a mistake. You got a young quarterback in there who's his first time out there. He's a little green at that point. He's going out there and amongst this game, and he's in the mix of and everything, and you change your coverages up a little bit. You play a little bit more traditional Tampa too. And you get ready to let them bleed the clock out in the game. You make them throw checkdowns and you tackle. And that was the plan right there, to move, let him move all the way down and make him throw checkdowns, and hopefully he'd make a bad decision.
Let me stop you there. Was that your thought? You're thinking of 100 things before the game, but was your thought that, hey, if we see him in the second half of a close game, our game plan is we're going to play Tampa 2, let him throw it underneath, milk the clock, whatnot. Did you have that plan going in, or was that just an adjustment on the fly, this is what we're going to do once Clausen got in?
Now, it wasn't something just for Clausen. You know, at that point in the game, it's time not to let Steve Smith beat you. The only way you lose that game if it's big plays happen. And the guy that can have big plays is number 89. Mm-hmm. He can absolutely strike you on any given Sunday, and we know that. And that's the time you want to reroute him, keep him contained, keep him in front of you, and tackle him. And that's what we were able to do at that time. You play on third downs, try to get off, but they were able to complete a couple third downs, move down the field, and the defense, they were getting a little tired as they went. But as I'm looking at the clock and I'm watching that thing continue to tick, every tick goes by, I'm getting happier and happier. And I know we're getting to our red zone defense, soon here. And I know it's going to be a little tough to get on our red zone defense. It gets a little tighter in there. It's a little harder to score. And that was the plan, and it worked.
Well, certainly the outcome was exactly what you were looking for. Let's talk about the two key plays, because it's third and goal at the three and a great hustle play by Quincy Black and Barrett Root. I know you've had a chance to look at it, to go over and get Goodson, the backup running back, down because he might have had a chance to score, but they were not going to allow that to happen.
Threw a nice play. Came out with a screen in the red zone, which is a big-time red zone play for people. Quincy Black turns and he runs, and he looks like a cheetah running across that field, and he puts his body on him. He hits him hard, and that's Quincy, man. That's how he's playing. You know, Barrett's, they came to hunt, and that's what they did, and they got him. They stopped him right there in the 3-yard line for us, and we were able to play again.
Fourth and goal at the one. What was going through your mind there? Because, again, the game is on the line right there.
You know, here it is, man. It's fourth and one. They're on the 1-yard line, and we always had a cliche around here, make them go through every blade of grass. And that's what we did in that drive. They had to get through that last blade, and they were unsuccessful. Geno Hayes able to knife a gap. Our front people were able to hold up and stay in their gaps. And he had to make a decision, and we get through that, knife him down on the ground, and the game ended exactly how you want it, with the angry running back on the Carolina Panthers side. And we were able to get that ball back and hand it to the official and get off the field.
Well, that's the way that you want it to be. Again, it is the head coach, Raheem Morris, show. We're going to be taking your phone calls in just a few moments. Again, 990-4620 in Hillsborough, 727-461-4620 in Pinellas, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS coming up. This is the second straight week where you have not been scored on in the second half. There is only one other team right now in the NFL, that's the Saints, who are playing tonight, that has a chance to have that happen if they hold the 49ers without a point in the second half tonight. If you're going down the list of things that are reassuring, that's got to be very reassuring that you've played four quarters of second half football, 0 points.
That's a lot of fun. You know, you're talking about second half scoring, and you know, I know I always tell guys stats are for losers, but the one stat I do care about is how many points do we give up? You know, where we rank that and points given up, because I think that's the most important one in my opinion.
I'll interject that I asked a moment before the show began, where are we ranked in points, and the coach immediately said
fourth.
Fourth in tied points allowed. Yep.
You know, but that's the most important stat for me. You know, I try to coach with an egoless. I don't even know if that's a word, but try to coach with not a non-ego. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have an ego when you talk about coaching. You talk about being smart. You talk about keeping out of the end zone. And you got to give your coaching staff a lot of credit for our second half adjustments that we made yesterday. You got to give those guys the credit for going out and really selling that to their players, so they understand what's going on. We all understand what's going on. We're on the same page when we get there, and everybody knows. You know, hey, you know, we don't play bend but don't break from the onset, but there gets a certain point in the game when you know you can bleed clock, you can bend and not break, as long as you can hold up on your part of the deal without the breaking part. You know, no, offenses don't want 90-play drives and come up nothing. It's just not a good thing for those guys. You know, you have that long of a drive, you want to come up with some points, and you get out of it with no points, man, that's demoralizing for you.
And so far, this team has not allowed points in the second half and is 2-for-2. Real quick before the timeout, tell me about that locker room. I know the guys were elated when you said victory Monday, which meant basically no practice today. But, what was that locker room like?
It's good. You know, it's a humble locker room. They want more. They expect more. They're not going to be shocked like the rest of the world. That's not our mentality. We didn't go into the season saying, hey, what was me? What's going to happen? No, we went to the season with the attitude of going out and trying to win games. And we play one at a time. We won't be shocked. We'll let us be shocked. We'll let everybody write about us. We won't read articles. We won't get confident. We won't get too confident and cocky. We'll just go about our everyday business and try to keep collecting wins.
The word that I used after the game yesterday, and I wonder, you've had some time to reflect on this, reassuring. I mean, for young players, this has got to be reassuring that the hard work of two-a-days, of preseason preparation, of game week preparation pays off, and you now get two wins. That's positive reinforcement, reassuring.
I'm sure for some of these guys, you know, when you go through all that stuff, and you go through all the situation of football, and you execute it all in the offseason, you execute it in training camp, and now it's showing up in a game, and you start to happen, and it's starting to happen in these situations, and all the stuff that you talked about are starting to come alive. It's got to be a reinsurance. You know, it reinsures your leadership. You know, it reinsures your captains. It reinsures your people that are in charge. When they go out there and they talk about what we're going to do, what's our plan, and everybody understands that, you can go out and execute it. And the players know if they go out and execute it, we'll get good results. And you got to give those guys a lot of, you know, the first thing I told those guys when they left, and I told them to come back in training camp, I said, physical conditioning precedes everything. And they took that to heart. You got to give our coaching staff, again, our weight staff, Todd the trainer, all those guys, a lot of credit. We're fortunately, we're healthy. Mm-hmm. We're in shape, and we're able to run all day, and it's awesome.
Well, and it's 2-for-2 so far, and we will be talking about the matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers before we're done. But when we get back, your phone calls with head coach Raheem Morris here on this Monday night. This is his weekly radio program. We look forward to hearing from you again, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, Pinellas, 461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS, toll-free, 1-800-596-2827. More with the coach momentarily on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in on this Monday, we will be taking your calls momentarily as we roll on with the head coach. We will be talking Pittsburgh Steelers. Tickets available for that one, by the way. And it's 2-0 against 2-0 with Pittsburgh coming into Raymond James Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock. I like to do this for people that are getting off work as you listen to us live on Monday night in the 5 o'clock Eastern Time hour. They maybe didn't hear the beginning of the show. Just give me an overall thought on being 2-0, going on the road and getting a win against a division rival like Carolina.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, right now we're just happy. We're elated as we should be, but we want to remain humble. We want to remain hungry, and we're not shocked. You know, I know everybody else is, and that's great. You know, hopefully we can keep sneaking up on people and keep going out there and executing our game plan. That's to play fast. That's to play smart. That's to play hard, and that's to play consistent. And we'll have a chance to win every game.
All right, to the phones, and let's say hello to Pete, who is up first with head coach Raheem Morris this evening. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Raheem, it's a pleasure, man.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing excellent. Hey, I just wanted to say that I've coached for about 24 years, just youth sports here in Tampa, and I've always felt that the players take on the mentality of their coach, and just your calmness, and when things were going a little crazy, maybe ticket sales weren't where they should be, your just calm demeanor. And the way you've gone about your work every day, it just shows out on the field, and your team's taking on that same mentality, that swagger mentality. And it's just fun to see, man. It's really fun to see. These guys are playing like a bunch of college guys.
I feel like I got a college team, Pete.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to, you know, I know you got a lot of calls, but I just wanted to say, man, keep up the good work. Everything will follow. I guarantee you that. You know how Tampa Bay is. You've been around long enough. The naysayers and all of them will start jumping on the wagon. But just keep it rolling.
I like it, Pete. You know, we talk about being resilient. You know, you talk about all those things. You talk about being mentally tough. That's all a part of it. And my team is developing a mental tough attitude. Our team is developing a resiliency about them that they can do anything. And if they just keep playing in these ways and playing in that format, I think we can. You know, yesterday I asked those guys to play nasty, and they went out and they played nasty. You know, you look at our young wideout crew and what they were able to do and physical blocks downfield and some of the things they were able to bring to the party, man. I like it, and I love what's going on with our football team
right now. You said an interesting thing, and I can't remember if it was after the game to the media or earlier today, where you said, hey, I'm 34 years old, and I'm going to be the way that I am. I'm not going to be Bill Belichick. I'm not going to be Rex Ryan or other I'm going to be Raheem Morris.
You know, a lot of guys that know me, you know, they know I'm high. I got a lot of energy. You know, I'm high energy. I like to have fun, and I'm going to have fun with my guys, you know, and all my guys have a mutual respect of having fun, and they all know what it's like. You know, I know it's the old cliche thing to say, hey, act like you've been there before and all these things. But, hey, we're a bunch of young guys that love enthusiasm, that love playing this game. We love our job. We love our fans. And I got all the confidence in the world that we'll all be back. You know, the economics, the thing that we got going on right now is tough for everybody. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, when you wake up or you go to sleep or whatever the case may be and the Bucks win, we put a little joy in somebody's heart. I promise you that. And that's what we're out there to do. We're entertainers.
Very good. Back to the phones. William in Tampa is with us with the head coach. Hello, William.
Hey, Coach Raheem. Thanks for being there for us. We're looking for a lot of happy Mondays from here on out. I just wanted to ask you, I know you have to stop, make them go through every blade of grass to make the first down for themselves, but we need to go through every blade of grass to achieve the first down. I know it's important for Josh to protect himself and slide when necessary. But I'm old school. I like smash mouth. I like to see him hit somebody and stiff arm somebody before. Why get hit when you get hit first?
I hear you, William. You know, but
I mean, they used to have thrusting stiff arms and broad change ball hands. You know, I know he ought to protect himself, but go, 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 and Bucks are going to do it.
Hey, William, I'll save those thrusting stiff arms for Cadillac Williams and my running backs. But
all right, you know, all right.
with the franchise quarterback, you got to let him.
Who already has a broken thumb, by the way.
You know, because if I, you know, he's a gunslinger mentality. You know, last year.
I've met him personally. He could fall forward three times.
No
and make that
question.
First down.
Last year, you know, he would, you know, throw people off of him, you know, push them off of him, throw them off, and keep running down the field. And I'm standing over there with my fingers crossed, hoping he would slide and get on the ground before somebody got to him. But he is a big man, and he's got to make smart decisions.
Well, and I know you've been impressed with his poise here in these first two games, because we saw that a couple of times where he just, you know, said, hey, the defense is giving me the middle of the field to take off. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take advantage of it and go get the first down.
He was able to take advantage of his legs yesterday, you know, and that's a part of taking advantage of his head too. You know, that's becoming a smart player. You know, I'm not going to force something down the field. I don't have to. I'm going to take advantage of my legs right now and run out here and get 8 yards, get 16 yards, get 11 yards, and keep the chains moving, and also add to our rushing stats, and also keep the clock rolling, and also do everything that we need to do time management-wise to win this football game. And that's what he did yesterday.
Back to the phones once more. Todd is in Brandon on the Buccaneers Radio Network with the head coach, Raheem Morris. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Coach Raheem. Hey, great day yesterday. That was so fun to watch. A longtime Bucs fan, and it was thrilling.
Thanks, Todd.
Appreciate that. And but me and my buddies, we had a question. Into the first half, we had 2 full minutes left and 3 timeouts. Why didn't we try to march one down the field and maybe put 3 more on?
That was my decision there. You know, Todd, you got it backed up. We got the ball backed up. We're about on our 20-yard line, I believe, somewhere in that area. And,
yeah.
And the only thing that can go wrong when you're on the road is the disastrous type play of fumble. They pick up and score and give them momentum going into halftime. And you
if
gotta,
I can interject, what happened to Jake Delhomme the previous week?
Right.
14-3, trying to get more.
Same type of deal. It was 14-3 versus us in Cleveland. They go into their 2-minute offense, and they're moving down the field, and they hit Rondae Barber in the face, and he scoots down the sideline and almost scores. And then the next play, we score with Mike Williams to put us make it 14-10. And you know, we wanted to be a little bit smarter at that point with the ball and say, hey, we got the lead. Let's get into the halftime locker room with the lead. We'll come out, play good defense, get you guys field position, and you guys go out there and score for us again. And that's what we executed yesterday. It's not playing scared. I think it's playing smart. And I think that we're getting better and better in all situations and figuring out when we need to do that.
You guys look great. Thanks, Coach Raheem.
Thank you.
990-4620 if you're in Tampa, if you're in Pinellas, 461-4620, and toll-free wherever you're hearing us, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 to join us wherever you can hear the program before we get back to callers. You know, it's always fun to hear from fans, to hear from callers that say, hey, you should let the quarterback go head first and take somebody on. And then as soon as he gets hurt, they're calling your radio show going, why don't you teach him to slide?
You know,
it's the same thing with, hey, you were real conservative at the end of the half there. You should have gone and tried to get points. And then as soon as you turn it over in that situation and get scored, they're calling to say, what in the world are you doing when you're up 14-7? That's the nature of fans and armchair quarterbacks and whatnot, right?
For me, I think they're all fair questions. You know, I think we all live out there in this world, and we all see it. Everybody can see, you know, a picture a different way all the time. And for all our fans and everybody that's watching the game, you know, they want to be greedy. They want to score points. They got these fantasy leagues that they love. but for me, the ultimate picture is how you want to win the game. You know, what is your plan going to that week? You know, our plan was not to go try to beat Carolina 50-0. You know, we'd have came out slinging it. And that wasn't the idea. We wanted to try to run the ball, control the clock, score and take advantage of our opportunities when we can, keep our defense fresh, and we were able to execute that all the way throughout the game.
All right, more phone calls on this Monday night. Kenny is in Tampa. Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Coach. How you doing?
How you doing, Kenny? What's going on?
Congratulations. I tell you, it was a great win. Also, Todd kind of stole my thunder there. I was going to ask the same question. But I tell you, on defense, man, I haven't heard much mention about him. As Styles G. White seemed like he had a pretty good game there, and he's been putting them together for us. I'll hang up and listen to you, sir.
You know, Styles G. White put together 2 really good weeks, Kenny. He went out there last week, his first week, and I think I talked about it in that first week. I talked about him giving great effort. You know, he didn't actually – I wanted to say it was his best game he ever played as a Buck, but I couldn't say that because he had a 3-sack game. But as far as effort, as far as relentless rush, as far as some of the things that he's able to do really well, he's out there playing dynamic for us, man. He got a sack for us yesterday. He's played the run really tough. He did a lot of good things for us, and I'm very proud of what Styles G. White has been able to do for us.
You had 4 sacks, most of those, I believe, in the second half, 3 turnovers all in the second half. I mean, people just keep wanting to know, what are you saying differently at halftime? What adjustments are you making on the fly, and what do you say to that?
You know, it's not about – it's opportunities defense, and what I mean by that is this. You know, people are going to come out and want to run the football, especially the two teams we just played. They're running football teams. They want to pound you. And you got to stop that running, get them out of that mentality, and force them to do something that they're not comfortable doing. And then once that happens, you have opportunities to make plays. And I always tell everybody, I tell my guys, plays happen when opportunities and technique meet. And what I mean by that is you can't go out there and guess and go out there and second guess a coach or try to make a play on your own or do something outside of the box where you affect your team. That's not how you make plays. The way you make plays is within a system. Opportunity and technique meets, and you can make plays.
All right, and we will make it back to the phones with Stu in Sarasota, who is on with Raheem Morris. Hello, Stu.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
How you doing?
Great, thanks. Congratulations, Coach, on a great win yesterday. I just had a question regarding the false start penalty that was nullified in the fourth quarter on the Bucs because of the personal foul. I have not been able to figure out. I thought that would have been offsetting. Can you explain to me why that was not a false start on the Bucs and why the personal foul was a penalty in favor for the Buccaneers?
I can interject on that. Yeah. The league a couple of years ago changed the rule, and it may have been three or four because time flies when you're doing this stuff, where if there is a personal foul situation, it trumps the other penalty.
Right.
And there were a lot of people. I was getting a text message or two on the sideline. There were people calling me after the game, and I'm sure a lot of fans were wondering the same kind of thing. How is that not offsetting penalties? But the league, about three, 4 years ago now, the more that I think about it, started saying if it's a personal foul, that trumps whatever else
right.
went on, and that's what the situation was here with both penalties.
Personal fouls are they don't count as the offsetting, so you get the personal fouls, and that's a part of it. They've actually added that until this year. They talked about it this year with the personal foul at the end of a half, carrying over to the third quarter and things of that nature. So the league's constantly trying to evaluate their rules. We have it all these league functions, and those are awesome deals. That's why you go to those meetings, and we have those meetings, and that's what happened there, and I hope he helped you out there.
I know that you said earlier today at your news conference that Josh's performance, looking at the tape, was kind of Derek Jeter-esque there on going down as the Carolina player Hardy, the rookie, came over and popped him. But, I mean, the refs are looking right at that. They're blowing their whistle. The quarterback is a protected position. We all know this. And the Carolina defensive guys know this. You cannot go over and pop him.
You know, he definitely hit him. You know, there's no doubt about it. And it was a personal foul in my eyes. You know, I just talk about my quarterback. He kind of put a little extra on it. He had some flopping like abilities, but you know it was emphasis. You know, I've stressed to the refs all the time. You know, Josh is a big guy, and sometimes you have a tendency to treat this guy like he's not a quarterback. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks in this league, man, they're protected, and I expect my quarterback and our quarterback to be protected the same way. You know, I don't care that he's 6'6" and 250 or whatever he is, and that's irrelevant. He's a quarterback. Protect him. If you're gonna protect him, you're gonna protect some of them. Protect them all.
I like that. Be consistent with that. All right, we've got a few more moments. Again, 990 in Hillsboro, 4620, 461 in Pinellas, 4620, toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Tony in Tampa is next. Good evening, Tony.
Hey, Coach, I want to just compliment you on how you're using the defensive lineman in the front. I see how you're using McCoy, like, in a three-man position, four-down lineman from the under tackle to the outside edge, putting pressure on the quarterback from every angle, man.
Tony,
also, I want to say thanks for coming out and speaking to the University area, you Bulls, man. I just want to say thanks. That was big.
Yeah, you're more than welcome, man. Tony, you must be a coach.
For sure, man. It's Coach Free, the head coach, man.
How you doing, man? It was good to see you guys that day, too, man.
Hey,
it was
man,
awesome.
Thanks, man.
No
that
problem.
That was big, man. And you showing it on the field. I mean, we just sat back yesterday, man, all of us as a team, and just watched it. And it's just like believing what you're saying. Technique and opportunity. You know what I'm saying? It's all going to come together, make big plays.
No, it's great, man. And it was really a pleasure for me to come out there and see your program. You know, the discipline that you guys have with that football team, the character that you're building with your football team, some of the things you're able to execute on the field, that's encouraging to me. That's what football's about. And if there's any way that I can come out and give back to other people, I love to do it, man. And that was great to come out there and visit your program. That was great to come out there and visit your community, and we try to do that a little bit. I try to get around a little bit, man. Get to high school events, get to Pop Warner events, man. It's awesome. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Coach, man. Y'all keep winning, man. And fans, y'all come out and support these Bucks, man, because they need everything we got.
Appreciate you, man.
Blair in Lakeland quickly is next. Hello, Blair.
Hey, Coach. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing awesome, Blair.
Good, man. Hey, listen, just want to comment on a couple years ago when the Steelers came to town. You know, they came in and really popped us in the mouth and really beat us up physically. How are you going to be able to get your guys ready for, you know, the physical nature the Steelers will bring? I know you're familiar with them.
Yeah, you know, the first Yeah, the first three games this year we're going to play are all going to be physical games. You know, Cleveland was a physical football team with Sean Rogers up front and some of those big beasts that they bring with them. You know, we know Carolina's physical with those two running backs, that defense, the way they play, John Beeson, you know, all those type of guys. And now we're moving up to the Pittsburgh Steelers and their physical style of play. And the last time they was in the stadium, they won a Super Bowl. And I'm going to remind my players of that. So when they come back here, they got some good memories. And their head coaches got some great memories here as a Tampa Bay coach. And they got a nice mentality. They got a great makeup that we're trying to get to. And it's our job to go in there and not be fearful. It's our job to go in there and match their physicality. It's our job to go in there and be violent. It's our job to go in there and try to get our next win.
And quickly, we've got time for one more before the timeout, and we'll talk more about the Pittsburgh Steelers after the timeout in the matchup coming up. Anthony is in Tampa with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good game, Raheem.
Thank you, Anthony.
With the question related to the end of this first half there, I was kind of curious about the end of the game when we were backed up in our end zone. We had ran two running plays to make them waste those timeouts, and we were stuck about 3 minutes. We went back, passed the ball to the edge there. Looked like it almost could have been a pick six. Luckily, it wasn't. But would have definitely changed the outcome of the game, you know, had that happened. Just wanted to know, you know, your thought process there.
You know,
keep it going.
Those are always scary deals, and those are the ones that you talk about. You go back and you self-evaluate. You look at the play call. You want to figure it out. And you got to get better and better every situation. You know, we felt we had a matchup that we liked out there in a one-on-one set, really trying to ice the game. And it could have been detrimental. It could have affected how the end of the game played out, you know, and what they would have done, what we would have done. And those are the certain situations you talk about when you go back and you evaluate and you talk about and you try to get better and better every week. You know, fortunately for us, it worked out in our favor. We were able to punt that ball away and play good defense and cap that thing off with Tlaib getting a pick.
I mentioned this before last week against Cleveland when you had a 4th-and-1 situation inside the red zone late in the game. This is, I mean, as a head coach, this is where you go through Maylocks. This is the tough moments where you make that decision standing there. Are we going to try to throw and get the first down and kill the game right here with 3.5 minutes to go? I mean, that's what you get the big bucks for, essentially, to be the head coach.
You know, the best part about it is, you know, when they go right, you're great. They're great decisions, you know. And they can go wrong, and it can be a bad decision, and that'll be something I have to live with. So I make those decisions with conscious effort to try to win the football game every week. And I'm going to make one that's going to be wrong, I promise you. And my team knows that. But they believe in me, I believe in them, and we'll go out there and we'll execute to our best of our ability.
That's head coach Raheem Morris. And again, we will talk Pittsburgh Steelers. They are the upcoming opponent. We will preview the matchup at Raymond James Stadium coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Stay with us. That is next here on this Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
2-0 start for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, we're here on Monday nights at 5 Eastern time. Coming up right after we're done, latest edition of Total Access. Number 83, Dave Moore here with number 52, Jeff Fain as his guest. And they will be taking your phone calls as well right after we are done here on the Buccaneers Radio Network on this Monday night. Well, looky here. 2-0 Bucs, 2-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. I know you just made mention in the last segment to the caller about the matchup. Let's get more specifically into this game. They go to Tennessee and win and had to go to a third quarterback in Charlie Batch. Everybody knows by now Ben Roethlisberger suspended. Byron Leftwich, who was here last year, injured in the preseason. They were going with the second-year player, Dennis Dixon. He got hurt in the game with Tennessee. We don't know his status right now as we're talking. They went to the grizzled veteran, Charlie Batch. So, I mean, they're shuffling the deck big time at quarterback. But Steelers play good defense, created 7 turnovers against Tennessee and got to their 2-0 win. What else do you see besides what I just threw out there?
You know, the unknown with the quarterback situation, you don't know about who they're going to play and all those things. But the thing you got to prepare for is a mentality. You got to prepare for the mentality they're going to come to our game with and the approach. They're going to come in here. They want to run the football. We got to bow our necks up again to try to stop that run. And then we got to get ready to defend the pass when we have to. That's the thing you got to worry about. And then on offense, their defense, they make no mistakes about it. You got to block these two guys on the outside, Lamar Whitley, and you got to find a way to block James Farrier. Lamar Whitley and James Harrison. Those two guys are going to come up the edge and create all kinds of problems for us. And we got to go out there and stand up and block these two men and get ready to play football. They got a great secondary led by Troy, Ryan Clark, Ike Taylor. Their two inside backers are smart, wise, and sharp. Timmons from Florida State, which we know a lot about through draft evaluations. Farrier is a crafty vet that's still playing lights-out football, and all those guys. Casey Hampton to be in that first down to stop the run. And we got to be prepared to deal. And they got a great defense. They're opportunistic. They play a fast fashion of football. And we got to go out there and match their intensity and play hard.
Polamalu was hurt last year. He is back in there now. I mean, I think it's fair to say they're a totally different secondary and maybe a totally different defense with that guy running around.
You know, not taking anything away from Troy, but I just don't buy into all the hype. You know, I think that defense plays well regardless. Now, when Troy's out there, he's a difference maker and he's a game changer and he plays great football. But this team is a good defensive football team. They play as hard as they can. They play with a mentality. They play with a great sense of urgency. And Troy adds to that. And he brings special dynamic characteristics to the game that people don't have.
You alluded to a few moments ago that Mike Tomlin, a former secondary coach here, who's now the head coach there in Pittsburgh, comes back as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers to play in Raymond James Stadium, where they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And I know you have a fondness for him because you kind of studied under him with the secondary. You have a great relationship with him until 1 o'clock Sunday. Then it's not going to be so great for about 3 hours on Sunday, right?
You know, you never lose those type of relationship with people. But, you know, on Sunday, man, he's a competitor. And he's out there and he's across that sideline. And it's our team versus his team. We got to go out there and try to get our next win one at a time. One snap at a time, one play at a time.
What is this about text? Did he send you a text message last night, and what was the response?
We always text each other, but he just let me know he was coming, and I told him I have his flight ready for him, and I'll pack his bags for him when he leaves.
Be ready to go with that. Hey, you know, you're back home in front of your fans. It's going to be quite an atmosphere, I would think, at Raymond James Stadium because, again, this is I don't know how many other ones there are, but this is 2-0 against 2-0 in the early part of the season and a significant game early on here in September in the NFL.
Now you got a premium matchup with a young team that's going to be fired up. The thing of it is you can't get caught up in the emotion. You know, it's not about who you're playing. It's the opponent is great matter. We got to go out there and execute what we talk about doing every week. Play fast, play smart, and play hard, and go out and execute our game plan and play consistent. And that's what we got to do.
And this team has won the turnover battle, by the way. Another stat while we're throwing out stats here, that this team wins the turnover battle 2 weeks in a row, and yesterday was the first time in a couple of years that you had zero turnovers. This team since 2002, 19-2 when you don't turn it over. So that is a big-time stat on taking care of the football.
Yeah, it's something that we preach. It's something that our players know. It's something that we all – you know, sit around and try to control, you know, and the thing that you don't want to do is turn the ball over and give people easy opportunities. And if we can do that, you have a chance to win them all.
Say something to the Buck fans. We got about 30 seconds left. I know you want them loud and there early.
You know, let me tell you, man, what they brought to us in our last home game was very exciting. And we'll need all of that and more because we got a great team coming in here. We're prepared to be doing what we want to do, and let's go out and play.
2-0 against 2-0, Buccaneers and Steelers coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Coach, thanks as always on the Monday Night Radio Show. We'll talk to you in the pregame show coming up on Sunday.
Talk to you soon.
And that'll do it for us here this evening. My thanks again to Jeff Ryan and also Jerry Petuck helping out putting this program together. Again, Total Access coming up straight ahead with Dave Moore and Jeff Fain. We'll talk to you next Monday night for the Coach Raheem Morris Show, and we will obviously talk to you Sunday for Bucks and Steelers. Noon for the pregame, 1 o'clock kick at Raymond James Stadium on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.